Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Annie Chikwaza is known around the world as the Mother of Malawi for her work with orphans in Africa through the Kondonani Children's Village. She's overcome molestation as a child, divorce, carjacking, a broken back, attempted murder, attempted rape, and then the death of her husband. Annie hasn't always benefited from the love and respect we all crave in our own lives, but she's always shown it to others, and we were privileged to connect with Annie for Open House around Australia. We began with Annie's childhood in Holland, where she developed an early love for the marginalised of her community.
You know, I think what happened was that I was sexually abused, never within the family, but by people who were friends of the family, by someone who lived with us. All of this caused trauma in my life and, you know, obviously, yes, set off a lot of other traumas in my life when I even, before I got saved, before I knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Annie, you're still a young teenager when you commenced training as a psychiatric nurse. How did that come about?
You know what? I never chose it. My parents didn't know what to do with me anymore. I was a very, very difficult child, and I think that was a result of many of the situations I'd gone through, which they didn't even realize or even know. And they decided that it was time to get me out of the house because it was just impossible to deal with. And they put an advert in front of me at that particular time. Can you believe it? When you were 16, and I wasn't even quite 16 yet, you could go and start your work in a psychiatric hospital in preparation for the actual nursing part.
Incredible.
So I started.
Surely, Annie, there could be few more distressing places in the world for a young lady who's been through as much as you already had at 16 than as a trainee nurse in a psychiatric hospital where you witness, for instance, more than one patient hang themselves.
You know what? I had a great love for my patients. The first patient I came across when I started that particular day was very, very insane. And I'll never forget her saying to me, she looked at me and she said, "You're dirty prostitute, what are you doing here?" You know what? It actually endeared me to her. it was very fun. But, you know, because she was so insane, she didn't have a clue. But you know what? I loved the people. And, it was traumatic to find a patient. That was a lady who was in the menopause and was in depression. And she said in the evening, she said, "Good night." And I said, "Well, I'll check on you just a bit later." And when I checked on her, she had hanged herself. Dear. And that had a terrible effect on my life. It didn't take very long after, you know, this lady committed suicide that I was too scared to go into dark places. And look, I got really out of control. I became very suicidal. I can't up till today tell you how often I tried to commit suicide. I've got these marks on my arms. I know I once broke the thermometer or drank the Quicksilver. And, well, I don't know how many bottles of what I did. But I had a cousin, and this cousin was a born-again believer. At that time, all I knew about her basically was that everybody was talking about her in the family, that she was a bit strange. And that was because she was a believer. But she was a qualified general and psychiatric nursing sister. Because now, in the meantime, I've been locked up in a back room at my parents' home because I couldn't stay in the hospital anymore because I walked out of the windows. She was asked if she could take me to a meeting. This was Brother Andrew, and many people have heard of Brother Andrew from Open Doors.
Yeah.
And when he made the altar call, when he asked, "Who wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" I saw Brother Andrew on the one side, standing off that stage, and Jesus standing, and it still makes me cry just about, and Jesus standing on the other side of the stage with his arms wide open. And boy, I ran out of my seat into the arms of Jesus. And from then on, the healing process started and did not take long to be completed. And that was the total change in my life. Then, you know, someone once said to me, well, if the devil can't get you any other way, he'll send a man, a woman, and a woman, a man.
And sure enough, in 1965, you met a man, didn't you? You were married in England after only a very short courtship.
Yeah, after, you know, I was so unwise still. I married him after 3 months. And all of a sudden, I had a husband who was 10 years older than me. Yeah, of course, he would hit me. But the psychological violence, I think that was the worst, where you have someone who's trying to put you down all the time and yet feels that he can't. So it increases the violence, in a sense.
Yeah. While all of this is going on, while your personal and family life is in great jeopardy, there's high tension in your marriage, you are continuing to invest in your community there in Johannesburg at the same time, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I could see, again, of course, the marginalized people, the ones who had nothing, the ones who were living a lifestyle which was, you know, from day to day, having food. They didn't know if they were going to have it the next day. And when I began to see that, I decided I've got to do something about it. My heart went out to the people there, and I started meetings. I started a church. That's all I knew what to do.
Yeah.
So I started a church, and it was just amazing. In the first meeting, there were 9 people. And God did miracles in that first meeting. And I remember thinking, wow, next Saturday. I started on a Saturday because I wanted the people to go to church on the Sunday. And I thought, no, next week there are going to be many more people because of what God is doing today. And then I went back the next Saturday, and there were only 6. And but, you know, I remember going home, and I said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm moved by the word of God only. And then it started growing. And today there are 2 big churches in Alexandra Township out of that particular ministry. And, you know, I began to look after the poor. I would get food from the various shops and clothing, and I had a ball.
The paradox of your life, though, Annie, is personally your marriage does fail and your ex-husband do divorce.
You know, Ray McCauley has once said to me, Annie, if there is going to be a divorce, he will divorce you. You will not divorce him. My ex left and went back to the UK. He never supported the children at all. But I had enough to bring up my 4 children.
Annie, let's turn now to your work with Kondonani Children's Village, where you're given a new name, the Mother of Malawi. And it all starts with your meeting your second husband, Louis.
Well, in 1982... I was at Rhema Bible College in Johannesburg, including my ex-husband, by the way.
Really?
One of the teachers at the college lecturers got up and said, look, we need someone to come and give a home to a Malawian student because he's now living at the embassy, at the ambassador's house in Pretoria, and it's too far away. So believe me or not, my ex-husband, who used to chase the black people out of the house, got up and said we would. And that was in 1982. Louis came to visit, and us as a family, I've now obviously been divorced. I got divorced in 83. In 1990, he came to visit us as a family, and he asked me to come to Malawi to come to their conference, and I went there in 1991, and that is when he proposed to me, and I thought it was the biggest laugh ever, because here is this, look, he'd been a parliamentarian, he was a businessman at some stage, and you know, he was doing very well, he went into ministry, and somehow all the money went out of his pocket. And he was now a very poor pastor and lived in horrible conditions. But as God has his way in my life, he made it very clear to me ultimately that is the man I want you to marry. I could see that there was a lot of poverty there. I started working with people. I started changing things. But, of course, I had this family who were my husband's children. They were not babies. And they were all adult children who, as far as they were concerned, this clever white woman is going to go and take our inheritance because he had these 50 acres of land. And it didn't matter what we did, the meetings we had with the MP, with the chief, with the whatever, they would not believe I wasn't going to take their land. Then eventually, you know, they got a whole mob together, and this mob attacked me and left me for dead on what's even my own house now where I live. Because they kicked me a lot, my back has been very messed up. But yeah, I'm managing with this back of mine. I'm trying not to give too much attention to the pain I do have from it. And there are parts in my body where I have nerve damage, but, you know, that doesn't bother me really. And I went, they put pangas right through my leg. Yeah, it was a mess, and I had to go for 1.5 years to South Africa for medical care. And after 1.5 years, I went back. Do you know, I've never, ever had any problems with my late husband's children at all, neither with anybody in the village. There were other situations involved. I realized that when I got back to the village, they thought I must have been a witch or something.
Because you'd recovered?
Yes, I had recovered, and I dared come back to the village. So, you know, to them as well, it was like, no, she's got powers, you know, somewhere along the line. And I did. It was the power of God within me going back ultimately to the village. And then I started Kondanani. And then, of course, Kondanani is on the ground for which I was to die. God's plan had to be fulfilled. But I had to go through that for his plan to be fulfilled. Now, that sounds very strange because I was not going to inherit. It was very clear between me and my late husband that he would, that land would go to the children.
Yeah.
But that wasn't God's plan ultimately. And something had to happen in order for him to establish the children's village. And I had to go through it. And now we have a village with 178 children. All of them have come to me as babies. I have never taken in big children, only babies. Some of them were only a day old. And they're just great kids. And God has enabled us to just do so many things for the children. There are 5 other missionaries at the moment. We've got a farm, we've got a pig farm, we've got a dairy farm. We make cheese. It's now 16 years nearly. And in those 16 years, wow, it is amazing what God has done. And so, yeah, I'm not the kind of person who will say, shame, poor us. We need your money. Of course we need money. But I can only just, if you'd come to call the nanny, you would say, wow. And yeah, I'd say, yes, wow, that's how big my God is. When you, yes, he sends a man, a woman, and a woman, a man. But, you know, ultimately you get on top of those things too.
Annie, I think most of us would agree that it's a miracle that so much good and happiness could come from a life scarred so early in yours. And there was more pain to come. We should mention that you lost Louis a few years back.
Look, he suffered as a result of it more than I did, I think. You know, they were his children and there was me. And he was in between it. And, you know, his heart suffered. And so eventually it wouldn't pump the fluid out of his body anymore. We're in a country where nothing can be done. I always say, would I have been with him in the Netherlands, he would have been alive today. But on one Wednesday, he said to me, Mommy, I'm going home. And I said, no, you're not going home yet. He says, yes, I am too much of a burden for you to have to do all you have to do. Because, you know, by then I had to put him in the bath and whatever it was. And I said, you know what? I love you. I don't mind what I have to do for you. I don't mind. But on the Friday morning, when, you know, I looked at him and his eyes were rolling, and I quickly took him to the hospital, and we put him on the bed, and I saw him just go, and he went. And it was very hard. It was very hard to see him go. And yet I knew he was going to be with the Lord. I went home, and within hours, the president's men came. They gave me the money for a coffin. And they said, and the president is coming, the government ministers, he had almost like a state funeral. So he was so honored in the end. You know, people need to understand that if you really want to get through your problems, you'll get through them. But it is your relationship with God which gets through them. We will suffer. We're not immune. Nobody's immune to problems. I mean, there are a lot of self-created ones. But even those you can get through when you find out, hey, wait a minute, I made a mistake. I need to correct that. I need to change that. I need to say, Father, I'm sorry. And turn around and go the other way. But he'll see us through it. But if we don't believe it, if we blame God for it, it's not going to work. We can't. We have to have, you know, it's got to be face to face with our Heavenly Father. And that is what gets us through.
Annie Chukwuaze, it's been an honor meeting you. Thank you for sharing with us on Open House. And many blessings with your continued work with Kondonani Children's Village.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.